Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go right to our callers in just a moment. I do want to share a testimony from a listener in Norway. Here's a man who says that his favorite broadcast is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's a 46-year-old Norwegian man, and he says he's been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast every night. It is a good supplement to my Christian walk. I'm so thankful to Hank, the way he is teaching and sharing his knowledge, even with a Norwegian. It is a shame that we don't anymore have this kind of rich and righteous teaching through radio in Norway. Thank you. I think this is an instructive testimony to share with everyone listening in, because so often in America and Canada, we take for granted the privilege we have to listen to Christian radio. And that privilege is only possible as a direct result of people like you who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. If you cannot support the ministry financially, please do support the ministry prayerfully. We believe with all our hearts that prayer is firing the winning shot. If you can support us financially and join the support team, just go to the web at equip.org and you can join online in a safe, secure fashion. You can, of course, call and join via the phone at 888-7000-CRI or write me at Post Office Box 8500. Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We need many of you to join as support team members. That forms the foundation of our ministry so that we can continue to do what we do and make a difference while there is yet time. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers. First up is David, listening in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, David.
Oh, hi, Hank. Nice to speak to you again. I'll definitely pray for your ministry. I can't give financially, but I will definitely pray for you every day in CRI to be blessed.
Bless you, David. Thank you.
You're welcome. My question today was, what is a rhema word? And the reason I'm asking is, I'm going to this church. We don't have a pastor. We just have an intern vestry that's sort of in charge. We're looking for a pastor. But this woman mentioned in prayer that, may we get a rhema word from the Lord through the sermon today. And there's been talk about prophets and casting Satan out of people, out of Christians, and just little things like that kind of concern me. And I'm not too sure if I'm in a healthy, well-balanced church or not. And I'm hoping you can help me.
Well, a lot of red flags there. Certainly casting demons out of Christians is a very popular fad today, but it has no biblical basis. If you are a believer, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit and will not be inhabited by a demon. So there's no need to have a deliverance service for a Christian. As far as the rhema word is concerned, words are not univocal, they are equivocal. So the meaning is oftentimes given by the person who is using the word. And in the context of what you described, it sounds to me a little like this. The person who is using this phrase, rhema word, is thinking about a human being as being body, soul, and spirit. In other words, this is a trichotomy view of humanity, which there's nothing wrong with, essentially. But in this case, the person is saying, the rhema word that I want to receive is a word that bypasses my intellect and goes directly to the spirit man. It is a word that can only be perceive spiritually, and therefore you cannot cogitate on it intellectually. And thus, even if this word that you receive is heretical, you can't denounce it because then someone is using their intellect to analyze it, whereas in reality, this is a word that has to be perceived and imbued by the Spirit. And so I think there are a number of really significant red flags here.
So I'm not being overly critical because I fear that maybe I might be overly critical.
No, you're not being overly critical. Look, we should never be judgmental in a wrong sense, which is to say we should never judge self-righteously or hypocritically, but we are called to judge. Jesus calls us to judge. When we judge, we must make sure that we are judging by a right standard. And that's the point. Your standard is the Word of God. The kinds of things that you have discerned are things that you must discern. Otherwise, if you do not, the plumb line is no longer Scripture. It is the winds and waves and teachings of men. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Brandon. He's listening on the web in College, Texas. Hi, Brandon.
Hello. How are you, Hank?
I'm well. Thank you.
First, I want to say thank you for your ministry. And my question is kind of related a bit to my history. I was raised as one of Jehovah's Witnesses and figured out when I was 15 years old that that was certainly not the right path and left it. And now working on getting some of my family to do the same. And about 10 years ago, I flipped on the radio and found exactly what I needed. I found someone who was logically defending and explaining what I knew to be true. And that meant the world to me at that time in my life. And my question is, most of my family and every witness teach and believe that Christ is Michael the Archangel, and they completely remove his divinity. And in trying to use the Bible to show them that that is incorrect, they throw at me, you know, that the Bible's incorrect, and they don't kind of, you know, don't want to listen to what, you know, anything but their Bible has to say. So I decided to try and be a little more logical about it and thought I would go with, if Christ was merely an angel, his sacrifice would not be sufficient because angels do not have free will as humans do. It's a different type of will, and it would be more of a commanded sacrifice than a willing sacrifice. And I just wanted to make sure that I was going down the right path in that was, you know, maybe a way to have a healthy conversation with them.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think it does take some contextualization in that angels were created as volitional beings so that they had the ability to choose to serve God or to choose otherwise. Angels now are actualized in their choices. They have requisite knowledge, and therefore, I think you're on safe grounds at this point to say that angels have been actualized in terms of their will, in terms of their choice. Therefore, you have a set number of angels who have followed Satan and a set number of angels who are ambassadors of God, those who worship God and love him and will do so for all eternity. And I think you're right. An angel cannot be worshipped as Christ is worshipped, nor can an angel make the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Only God can bridge the chasm between humanity and the utter holiness that is resplendent in deity. None of us have the ability to live the life that is necessary to be acceptable to a holy God. Therefore, we depend on the holiness of Jesus Christ, which is a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. An angel cannot do that. And I think it's very telling that when John in Revelation is shown a vision and he is so mesmerized and moved that he falls down and worships the angel immediately scolds him and says, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with all who testify to the glory of God. Worship God." So worship is for God alone. It is not for men or for angels. We reserve that for deity. Thus, I think the track you're going on is a good one because, look, what is the ultimate thing that you want to communicate? It is the deity of Jesus Christ. The Bible clearly communicates it, makes distinctions between humanity, angels, and deity. And I think to make those distinctions clear in your conversation is a wise move.
Well, thank you very much. Again, your ministry means the world to me. Finding your program all those years ago definitely changed my life for the positive, and I will continue to listen as long as you're on the radio and have some.
Thank you so much, Brendan. And what a testimony from a man who is a former Jehovah's Witness, now witnessing to the witnesses, and a testimony for how the Bible Answer Man broadcast is being used in the lives of people, not only for time, but also for eternity. I am amazed over the years at how many Jehovah's Witnesses listen to this broadcast, how many Mormons listen to this broadcast, how many Muslims listen to this broadcast, how many garden variety pagans listen to this broadcast. So this is not just preaching to the choir. It is reaching out to the world. Right back with more questions.
Has Jesus Christ returned to earth as a woman? Eastern Lightning, also called the Church of Almighty God, claims a Chinese woman is the reincarnated Christ, Almighty God, and the fulfillment of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. This cult is doctrinally deviant and socially subversive. It masquerades as a persecuted Christian movement while exploiting Western sympathy to spread its destructive dogmas. Don't miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal exposing the treacherous teachings and practices of Eastern Lightning. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Janine, listening in Topeka, Kansas. Hi, Janine.
Hi, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call. And you were talking a while back about some of the modern faith people, you know, to have some discernment about. And you just in brief mentioned Joyce Meyer. And I just wanted to know what your take is on her ministry.
Well, Joyce Meyer is a Word of Faith teacher, and she teaches all of the classic errors and heresies of Word of Faith theology, and therefore I've never recommended her ministry. In a publication titled The Most Important Decision You Will Ever Make, she says Jesus Christ was in the grave 3 days, and during that time he entered hell, and God rose up from his throne and said to the demon powers that tormented the sinless Son of God in hell, let him go. And then after Jesus had been tormented by the demons in hell, the resurrection power of Almighty God went through hell, filled Jesus, and Jesus emerged from the grave as the first born-again man. She says the Bible calls him the firstborn among many brethren. He was the first so that now you and I can be one of many brethren. In sharp contrast, of course, to her assertion, the Bible never says that Jesus Christ was born again. The biblical concept of being born again applies solely to sinful humanity. The Bible does say Jesus was begotten, but it never says that he was born again. There's no need for Jesus Christ to be born again in Orthodox theology. It's only in Word of Faith theology that Jesus Christ needs to be born again. And the reason for that is Jesus is a satanic being in their view upon the cross, and therefore has to go to hell and emerge from hell as the first of those who are born again.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize. I had a check in my spirit when I was reading a chapter on something. She said mind-binding spirits, and I wasn't sure at all what she was talking about. I mean, I folded it up to there because she was talking about just having positive thinking and, you know, stuff like that. But I just wanted your take, so thank you very much.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for your call. And, of course, when she's talking about positive thinking, there's a lot more going on. She's talking about the Word of Faith. Faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. The moral of her story is this: if you are a paraplegic, you are the problem. So instead of feeling sorry for yourself sitting in a wheelchair, just get up. Words are containers for power. They carry creative force. If you learn how to use that creative force, then you can be every whit whole from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, as she is fond of saying. If you use negative words, then you end up in negative circumstances. So whatever your problem, you are at the root of it. This piles all kinds of guilt on suffering people, the very people that we should reach out and help. Much more could be said about Joyce Meyer and her heretical teachings. In a book called Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, I lay this out not only with respect to Joyce Meyer, but the leading voices in the Word of Faith movement, which is so incredibly popular due to lack of discernment in the world today. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Sean, listening in Virginia. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Hank. My question was about the book, The Shack. I believe I heard you give a warning about the book at one point in time, but then in a group at my church, they recommended the book. So I'm just trying to find out what your thoughts on that book were.
Yeah, I don't recommend the book at all. After chiding those he believes to have misconceptions about the Trinity, the author, William P. Young, proceeds to compromise, confuse, or outright contradict biblical orthodoxy. For example, he pictures the Father bearing crucifixion scars as well as being incarnated in tandem with the Holy Spirit. Of course, in historical biblical Christianity, only the Son is incarnated and only the Son suffers and dies on the cross. And then he pontificates that Jesus has never drawn upon his nature as God to do anything. And I would say, in response, those who have read through their Bibles will immediately recognize that this is a false statement, particularly with respect to the resurrection. There are many other problematic areas in his writing and in his speaking. He negates the notion of functional subordination within the Godhead and explains the Trinity is in a circle of relationship, not a chain of command. Hierarchy would make no sense among us. This is how one of his characters speaks. In biblical orthodoxy, however, the incarnate Christ says, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." Put another way, functional hierarchy is not antithetical to ontological equality. There's many other things that could be said, and I've noted those areas of concern in an article titled, "How Should a Christian Think About the Shack?" You can get it online at equip.org.
Oh, okay, great. I'll check that out. I appreciate it, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tony, listening in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Hank. I just wanted to tell you, I really appreciate your program. I've been listening to you off and on for probably the last 3 or 4 years, and I've learned quite a bit from you. You're very inspiring.
Thank you.
You know, in the Bible, there's a scripture that says about Christ, you know, if you know me, then you would know God. I guess my question is, okay, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you know, that he was the Son of God, and he died for our sins, and he resurrected, and, you know, then that's how we're saved and born again. I mean, that's how we go to heaven. But if someone didn't believe in Christ, and didn't really understand that part of it, but they believed in God, and if God is supposed to be Christ, why wouldn't they automatically be okay with that? Because if he's God, why do they have to distinguish, you know, Christ? They have to believe and liken two different things.
Well, first of all, it's not the absence of knowledge that damns. It's the despising of knowledge that damns. The point in terms of knowledge, though, is that we all have the knowledge of creation around us. We also have an internal knowledge of God within us. So the heavens declare the glory of God, but God's knowledge is also written upon the tablet of your consciousness. And if you respond to that knowledge, you can have the knowledge of Christ. The problem is never that light is not available. The problem is that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. This is precisely what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Light came in to darkness. Men loved darkness. Darkness rather than light, why their deeds were evil. So the problem is never a lack of light, it is a despising of light. And if we do not despise the light, then God will bring us the light, not only the light of creation and conscience, but ultimately the light of Christ. The normative way in which that happens is through human agency, but it is not the exclusive way that it happens. There are cases in which God does appear directly to people, as he did to Saul on the road to Damascus, who became Paul, the writer of two-thirds of New Testament epistles.
Right, but then how about the Jewish people? They love God tremendously. They pray every day, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. So how's that work then?
Well, that's imbued in the answer that I just gave you, which is to say that it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It would be racist to suppose that Jews cannot think any better than Gentiles can think, or that they do not have the same opportunity for light the Gentiles have. They do. They have the light of creation, they have the light of conscience, and if they respond to that light, they will receive the light of Christ. Christ was a Jew, Paul was a Jew, he was a Jew who was taught, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he encountered the resurrected Christ. We have the evidence that Christ is who he said he was. The question is, are we going to respond to that or are we going to reject it?
Okay. I know where you're coming from. It's just still kind of confusing to me sometimes, but that helps.
Well, it doesn't matter where I'm coming from, though. I mean, it's a matter of, is this true? I mean, you know, my opinion means nothing. You got to test it in light of that which corresponds to reality. So if what I say corresponds to reality, then it's something that you should pay attention to. You shouldn't say, well, I know where you're coming from. You ought to say, you know what, is where he is coming from consistent with where the Bible has already come from?
You know what I think probably my problem is, Hank, is I'm more attracted to the Old Testament. I don't know why. I just, and the God from the Old Testament, it just, and sometimes that's where I have my problem, you know, identifying, separating them because they're so different.
No, they're not different. One of the biggest misconceptions is that the God of the New Testament is different from the God of the Old Testament. He is not. In fact, he is more fully revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And we have all the evidence to demonstrate that the Old Testament is a beautiful portrayal of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Jews, like Matthew, that look back at the Old Testament, saw Christ in virtually every aspect of the Old Testament, from I called my son out of Egypt to seeing Jesus Christ in all the types and shadows that are prefigured in the Old Testament. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.